So when we got home, it's late Monday evening, and, you know, we're tired, been traveling for some 6-7 hours, and, you know, you only unload the essential stuff, stuff that needs to go back into the fridge, and the luggage still yet to be unloaded. It's been a very busy week, but those weren't the essentials. So we sit down, and We're just, all right, let's just see what social media says. You know, we haven't looked in 3 hours or so, so let's see what new has conspired in that. So where we live is out towards Benton, and the service there that we of our carrier isn't that good. And again, we don't have any gigabytes in our plan. It's very, very slow. We got Wi-Fi, no problem. So we thought, Wi-Fi has been out, apparently, while we were gone. We can't connect to the internet. We can't see what's going on in the world. It's late Monday evening. I can't even get on the internet to call a representative of AT&T to know what the problem is or to get somebody out there. Took about an hour to try to get a hold of an automated service, which, praise the Lord, it sent somebody out, but the representative wasn't going to be out until Friday. This is late Monday evening. No service. A whole week without connection. Will we be able to survive? Will we know what we're going to miss? But, you know, throughout the week, it wasn't just connecting to social media. We realized that having the internet and connecting to that, it's for recipes. It's for different numbers, a different know-how to, how to get to somewhere. Literally, the printer we just got, I'm not able to use it until we have internet service so that it can download all the things that it needs to even use that. But, you know, this was just connecting online. We realized that we needed the internet, this technology that's in our society, and it's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's staying. But you know, God was speaking to my heart throughout the week. Bit by bit, I was hearing him, and my beautiful wife was informing me as well, because she was a part of this, that we heard God kind of speak to us throughout this week in preparing this message. And this is something that I felt God impressing on my heart. Do you even care to be connected to me as you are with being connected to online? Am I really concerned with my connectivity to Jesus? And I ask you, friends, are you concerned? Turn with me to John 15 and verse 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, in verse 4. These are the words of Jesus. John, chapter 15, in verse 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Friends, abide in the vine. God of heaven, we are so grateful for you. Awesome and mighty, powerful God. We praise you, Jesus, that you desire to be in us. We pray for that desire this morning to be in you. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus is with his disciples. He finally has them alone. They're in the upper room. Jesus wants to give them his final words. He knows that he's only hours away from his death. Very important words. The last words spoken on somebody's deathbed seem to stay in your mind, don't they? The last words of a goodbye, you hang on to those last words, and Jesus knows that he only has a little bit of time. And the disciples, they're ready to take the world by force. They're ready to overthrow the Roman power. But then Jesus does something almost ridiculous in their eyes. He bends down and he starts washing their feet. They're blown away at what he's doing. And then he discloses to them that one of them is going to betray him, turn him in. And then next, he discloses that Peter, the leader of the group besides Jesus, second in command, he's going to deny him. Philip and Thomas, they don't even know who Jesus is. So as they leave the upper room, they sing a hymn and they go out to a place where on the way where Jesus has continuously gone for meditation, for prayer, to seek God for instruction over things in his life, over the ministry. Jesus has been telling the disciples his mission to the world, the spiritual relationship of that. Of teaching, you have to be dependent on me alone. And as they walk, the beautiful picture that Ellen White paints is of them walking in the moonlight. And then the bright light shining as the disciples' eyes are beholding, Jesus gives an understanding, an example that is so deeply rooted within Israel's heritage. Many of the prophets of old have expounded on the symbol. So drawing the disciples' attention, Jesus sets before the disciples one of the most practical examples, one of the most beautiful examples that Israel has prided itself over and over. It's the vineyard. Isaiah says of the words of God, God says, my well-beloved has a vineyard. God says, my beloved, or in other words, my lover. God is so romantic and he has so much love overflowing to us. Jeremiah says, I have planted a noble vine, a seed of the highest quality. This noble vine is a choice vine. It's something sought out after, something that of highest quality. This has a power to resist stress, has a power or a force within it. God has so much desire for the vineyard to succeed, to grow, to flourish, to continue, to bear fruit. But why does it seem as though we're fruitless at times? Why does it seem as though we're drier than the hills of Gilboa? And that every time we try something new, we always get shot down, or it just doesn't seem to work out the way that we have planned it. How then do we abide in the vine? Verse 4, Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I looked up some top 10 lists of what people desire in life. Practical things that you would think like, yeah, that's obvious. So this top 10 list goes as in opposite order from 10 to number 1. People want passion. People want stability. People want confidence. Fulfillment. Balance. Joy. Peace. Freedom. Money. And number 1, happiness is the most desired of what, the most commonly of what people want in life. Friends, every one of these things is what Jesus gives. Jesus is our foundation. He gives us passion. He gives us the confidence. He fulfills in us and balance. He gives us the joy, the peace that we so desirely want. Contentment. He is our happiness. But why do we sometimes feel that we're only scarcely any of this list, or maybe only one of these lists? Why hasn't Christianity set the world ablaze? And it makes me ask the question, why haven't we ignited Cleveland with the Holy Spirit power? The number one rule for a Christian, number one to top, these last words of Jesus is abiding in Christ. So what does it mean to abide? So first of all, I want to draw your attention to the amount of times that Jesus talks about abiding in these 11 verses that we're going to go over today. 10 times that Jesus uses abiding. So when you are studying scripture out, when you see a repetitive use of words, there is a major lesson that needs to be brought out from that. A major lesson in abiding. So if Jesus is using abiding here so many times, do you think it is important? Yes, amen. So, how important is it? It is meaning to remain. Abiding means remaining, staying, or residing at a place. Now, this is in comparison to a structure, a house. The house isn't going to move, is it? It's meant to stay in one place. Your marriage, you're meant to stay in that place with your spouse. It's meant to remain. You know, and one of the most beautiful things that I've discovered in my walk with Christ is that I have been given a choice. I have a choice to say, God, I want to follow you and be dedicated to you 100%, or I have the same choice to say, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm good making my own choices over here. I have the ability to leave at any time that I want. He hasn't forced himself onto me. He's only called me out of darkness, out of a selfish sin. But the choice to stay, the choice to abide, this means that no one can shake you, friends. No one can tell you that you aren't good enough. Christ is enough. All of hell, of the darkness, can surround you. Abide in Christ. No one can tell you that can take you from the hands that formed you in the womb. Friends, abide in Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. When you abide in Christ, what Jesus is really speaking of is that you're continuing in a certain state. This doesn't mean stagnant and necessarily remaining in one place. That's just meaning staying in Christ. But it's a continuation. It's an action, a moving forward. So then, we could say, carry on abiding in Him. Continue to abide in Christ. Increase abiding in Christ. Don't settle for less. More of abiding in Jesus, because when you abide in the Savior, He gives you passion. He gives you stability. He gives you confidence. He gives you fulfillment, balance, joy, peace, freedom, contentment. He gives you happiness. You will be satisfied when you abide in Christ. So these words that Jesus speaks of, He's talking about a vineyard, this beautiful, simplistic representation I love when Jesus talks about nature and just uses that simple truth of the kingdom, of the hidden meanings. So follow along with me, chapter 15 and verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father, He is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. So here Jesus is painting a picture of a vineyard, of a vine. Now, when I kind of hear this, I'm used to seeing kudzu. Does anybody know what kudzu is around here? It just overtakes it. I mean, just overpowers. And some of us are familiar with those vines that you swing through the woods. It's a type of grapevine, a wild grapevine. But what Jesus is talking about is a structure, a stem, so to speak, like a trunk. And it's connected to trellises so that this trunk will have offshoot or branches to come out, and it connects to the wire, the trellis that it's connected to. So essentially, let's review. Who is the vine dresser? In verse 1, God the Father is the vine dresser. Who is the vine or the true vine? Jesus. Who are the branches in verse 5? We are. Jesus was talking about his disciples, but it is us. So anytime what Jesus says, the branches in me, branches not in me, branches cannot bear fruit of itself, branches will bear fruit as long as they're in me, he's essentially saying we are in Christ. Christ is in us. When we're in Christ, we bear fruit. When we're not in Christ, we don't bear fruit. A beautiful book that I had been gleaming from, and a lot of this has come, the idea of this is Secrets of the Vine. A beautiful book, small, easy to read, that Bruce Wilkinson, he expounds on this secret of the vine. And in Bruce's discourse, he talks about four different baskets that Jesus speaks of in here. Four different baskets. Now, I'm going to primarily focus on the first one, but there's an empty basket with no fruit. There is a second basket with some fruit, and then the vine dresser prunes it so that it will, on the third basket, bear more fruit, and then the fourth basket is much fruit. Now, a lot of times we like to compare ourselves, unfortunately, that, oh, I wish I was like that person and can do that. But I want to disclose more. I want to go into an understanding that you may, or maybe your translation says something different here. But verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So what I have always understood that saying is what he says in verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered and is gathered with them and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. So I just want to disclose to you right now that this is a poor translation. It's not exactly what the original author is intending to display, because when I read in verse 2, every branch that in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, that sounds kind of like what he's saying in verse 6, a cutting off, a casting out, thrown into the burn pile. And maybe that question comes to your mind. Is God not long-suffering, abundant in goodness, desiring that we come to a fullness in Christ? How then can I produce fruit if he's just going to cut me off? So first of all, understanding, this word take away. In the Greek, it's aereo. So in other words, a better translation is take up or lift up. So it would say, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up or takes up. So another example of this in Scripture is of the disciples. They took up 12 baskets of food after feeding the 5,000. Or when Simon was forced to bear Christ's cross, he lifted up the cross for Christ. John the Baptist beheld the Lamb of God who takes away or lifts up, takes off. So I want you to please hear me now that aereo in this sense never means cut off. Why can we be assured of this? Because every branch that is in me that does not bear fruit. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You don't cast away a clean thing, right? You keep it. This image of the vine dresser. Again, who is the vine dresser? God, the Father. In this book, The Secrets of the Vine, Bruce is going through a transition in his life where he's wanting to understand this meaning, and he happened just to be in a conversation with a farmer. He's actually a vineyard farmer. And he was disclosing to him a secret about this vine. And as Bruce is sitting there across the table talking to this man, he's listening to the words of this wise farmer. And he talks about how on the vine, this thick, rough branch, there's these offshoots. And what naturally wants to happen to these offshoots, they want to grow downward. And they want to grow in the weeds and find another place to go up. But what the vine dresser does is that he walks the vineyard. And he looks for these new shoots, these branches that run off wildly. And what happens over time is that because the vineyard's so large, that dust will accumulate on these leaves. And then when water hits the leaves, they start to mold and they start to rot because they can't aerate, they can't breathe. So what the vine dresser does is he has a bucket of water and a rag, and he goes to each of these leaves and he washes them and bends them down and washes off all the dirty, because he doesn't want to cut off these new shoots. These are valuable fruit producers in the future. And then what the vine dresser does is that he ties them up to the trellis so that they will grow properly, away from the muck, away from the dirty. Friends, when you allow God to lift you up out of the filth, the places that you keep going to, He is able to do the impossible. But we need to understand something in this process. Like the wayward, wild-growing branch, us, God the vine dresser, lifts us up. He desires for us to grow. If you're like me, you understand that you may have gone a day without fruit. You may have gone a week without fruit. You may have gone a month without fruit. You may have gone a year without fruit bearing. And you feel like you're a failure, not bearing the fruit. Friends, if your life is consistently not bearing fruit, the glory of God will intervene to discipline you. Now, what do I mean by that? This isn't a vengeful God whipping. Deuteronomy 8:5 says, "As a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." Now, we all have sin in our lives, whether it's blatant or hidden. And I'm not saying that any sin is okay. I'm not saying that the white lie is okay, where the big lie, well, that's the one we need to worry about. But what I'm speaking of, because sin is sin. No matter what, sin is sin. But what I'm talking about the major sin problems in our lives. I'm talking about the unconfronted behaviors, the one that's causing the hurt in your life, the one that's causing the hurt in your family's life, the one that's causing the hurt in your children's lives. I'm talking about the attitude that is staining your life. Think about a splinter. Has any of us ever had a splinter in our hands? A little tiny metal splinter? Or a piece of wood, that little thorn, how painful it is. I mean, you can't even move your finger without feeling that pain. But then once we get that splinter out, that moment of pain to get it out, there's almost instant relief, right? This is like the sin that is in our lives. There's places that we keep going to that the vine dresser comes and picks us up and puts us back into a better place. Hebrews 12:5-6 says, "My son, do not despise discipline of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." No one loves discipline. I'm soon to be a parent, and I've always heard, you know, as a parent, that, you know, this is going to hurt me worse, more than it's going to hurt you. No one likes to discipline anybody. Do you think the God who created all things, who loves us, likes to discipline us? Not at all, friends. The vine dresser is the image of God disciplining us in love, bending down, pulling us out of that filthy sin, out of the addictions that you hate and that you know that you're worse off if you stay in them, out of the anger that so easily besets you, causing your loved ones to cry in pain of tears. The Father wants more fruit from us so much that He is actively tending in our lives, as well as so that we will keep moving upward from barren, empty baskets to overflowing baskets. It's a loving discipline that God does for us, not an angry, vengeful God. Every bit of the pain of the disciplining, I know from my own life, has been my own choice. I chose to go down those dirty places. I chose to go and do those wicked things. But it's up to you, it's up to me to turn back to God and allow Him to build us up. You're only going to experience pain when you continue to hold on to the sin. But when you let go and you let God, He is the God of joy that fills your heart, not misery. Abide in the vine, friends. Jesus' main focus here is to abide. Again, 10 times He says it. But let's look at another area of the vine where I know for myself I have a tendency to mainly focus on fruit bearing. Bearing fruit. This is mentioned actually 6 times within this passage of Scripture. So there's a huge significance in that. Because every time Jesus is saying, abide in me, you want to bear fruit, you got to abide in me. So it's an extremely important aspect of the Christian life. I believe that we have a tendency to beat ourselves up when we're not bearing fruit. What I believe is that we're looking at bearing fruit for all the wrong reasons. We have an inclination sometimes to compare ourselves to somebody else. If I could only be like so-and-so, I'd have it all figured out. I would be able, if I had their personality, I could go to door to door. I could go and give Bible studies. I could tell a person about the Sabbath. I could tell a person about the state of the dead. I could talk about how the Eden diet really is. And the list goes on, but friends, when we compare ourselves to those sinful other beings, we're only going to fall. We are only going to fall. When you think that fruit bearing is only bringing people to church, your fruit bearing is in a wrong focus. Yes, there will be a bountiful harvest that will be a part of us. But really what I believe Jesus is trying to focus on, of the bearing of the fruit, is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I've had the privilege of helping a lot of the children in the youth ministries here, and I know we have sung that song at least 50 times, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. When you abide in Christ, you have the fruit of the Spirit, and it starts to grow. My wife is beautifully was over in Laos for 2 years, and she got to watch a more nomadic type of people, a third world country that lived off the land primarily. And in that culture there, they have seasons of fruit. One month, or however long the period is, it's mangoes, then jackfruit, and the list goes on and on and on. So essentially, if you are a mango and they're jackfruit, sometimes you're going to have a fruit and harvest and you're going to be joyful. Whereas the jackfruit, they're not going to have much at all. They're not going to have anything. They're still growing. Let's not compare ourselves to others, but remain in Christ. Only in the vine. Only being in the vine means Jesus is in you, not you in Jesus. People will see Jesus when you are in him. But I want to talk about a different direction because Jesus actually addresses this in verse 10. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And friends, I am preaching the Ten Commandments. It was etched out of the throne of God. And this is still a part of and will be forever. The basis of God is the Ten Commandments. But what people hear nowadays is legalism, unfortunately. And some will argue because, well, Jesus says it. And I'm not refuting that. Yes, if you keep my commandments, that is a part of it, is keeping the commandments of God. And I want to read something from Ellen White and what she has to say. As a people, we have preached the law until we are dry as the hills of Gilboa that had neither dew nor rain. We must preach Christ in the law, and there will be sap and nourishment in the preaching that will be as food to the famishing flock of God. We must not trust in our own merits, our own production at all, but the merits of Jesus of Nazareth. When you, friends, I know the feeling, I know that urge to want to tell somebody about the Sabbath, to want to tell somebody about these beautiful truths of gospel. If they haven't asked you about it, are they really inquiring about it? Because what I see going on here is that, again, what are we? We're the branches. Jesus is the vine. And who is the vine dresser? God. It's God's choice to say, now's the time to tell. They're going to ask you about the Sabbath. When we go forward in trying to tell people what we think they need to know, we're playing the part of God. Friends, we're called to be branches. We're called to abide in Christ. Because, I mean, here lately, I've been on a fruit kick, and man, I go home and I see that fruit, and I'm just like, oh, cherries. Oh, mangoes, I want it. When you are abiding in Christ, when you are growing in Christ, people are going to recognize it. They're going to smell Jesus on you, Paul says. A fragrance of the Lord. Abide in Jesus. Friends, if you want to feed a dying world, if you want to give to the needy, your neighbor, your friends, your loved ones, if you want fruit in your life, abide in the vine. This world is dying. People are desperate. And if you abide in Christ, you will have something to offer them. But if you don't, it's nothing. Nothing at all. So just like my wife and myself this past week, we weren't connected. We weren't being connected to the internet. I felt lost. In a way, I felt out of place. I felt just hopeless, helpless. We literally found ourselves going to different Wi-Fi places so that we can connect real quick instead of having to wait on our internet to load. Is it the same with your relationship with Jesus? That you're only going to him in a two-minute devotional, or, oh, I'll watch this, it is written on the news feed, and okay, I got my devotion for the day. You will wither and die if that is consistently your devotional life. Those are powerful. Praise God, I've watched those and they've given me some hope for the moment, but if we don't stay in his word, reading his word, devouring his word, we have nothing to offer the world. Because when you spend that 5-minute devotional time, it's like going to a real quick Wi-Fi and getting connected real quick. Oh, I don't have to use my data. It's like going anywhere to get that quick fix. Keep going deep in His Word, friends. It's our only source. If you just coming here for the Sabbath and expecting that that's going to get you through the week, I'm sorry. It's not enough. When you spend time with Jesus, He draws near to you. He will abide in you. Abide in the vine. Be connected. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the work of Jesus. It hurts sometimes, Father, that we think that You are cutting us and things are going on in our lives that we can't even speak of. But Lord Jesus, we see that the vine dresser comes and prunes us so you can grow more. I pray for light upon the congregation today. I pray for wisdom to keep abiding in Christ, to keep going forward, to stay in His love. Jesus, You promised to be with us. And we know that that promise is true, for You are faithful. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.